I hope you can see my pictures, because I'm one of those people who learns as much from the pictures as I do from the words. I like to put the pictures up. This picture is by El Greco. It's called A Boy Blowing on an Ember, and it was painted in 1570. I hope it helps you. I'll leave it up there while I just pray. Lord, we do thank you, Lord, that you want to speak to us this morning. And whether you speak to us through the songs, through Bart's testimony, through the word, or through the pictures, or through something I say, Lord, I pray that we will hear, Lord, that we will listen, that we will understand what you are saying and be able to respond, Lord, to what you are saying to us. Lord, help us. We need your Holy Spirit in this. And I do pray, Lord, that your Spirit will help me to really share, Lord, that which you have been speaking to me. Amen. We are going to be looking at the first chapter of 2 Timothy. I've sort of given it a subtitle of intentionality, because that's a word that's been very much on my mind as I've prepared. And if I had I do like to bring in an object of some sort of realia, but I didn't have one of these.
Switched on.
Ah. Technical. does anybody know what that is? It looks like a robin, but it isn't. Bellows. Because what we're talking about today is fanning into flame that which God has for us. And I hope that's a helpful picture to keep in mind. We're going in sort of two different directions during my sermon this morning, but I hope that you don't need to follow it all. Get something that the Lord is saying to you out of it, and that's all I would ask. Last week, Richard was preaching about keeping in step with the Spirit, and we've put the banner back up. It's all part of our desire that we move onwards and upwards with the Spirit. We've had teaching over the last 9 weeks or so about the Holy Spirit, and we want to apply it. We don't want it to just be things that we've heard, things that are in our mind. We want it to be in our lives and actually affecting who we are and what we do. So there is nothing new that I'm going to say today, but as Peter says in 2 Peter 1, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I don't know whether you enjoy watching the survival programs, you know, Roy Mears or Bear Grylls. If you do, then this image will mean something to you. It's about lighting fires and rekindling them. And I realise that I haven't read the scripture yet. That's fine. We will come to it. A small spark can start that combustion process. That little ember, that tiny little ember that if you've been using a bow to create that sort of friction and heat you've worked so hard to produce is what is going to light the fire. And you start with very fine fibrous material, and then you add little sticks, and then you add bigger sticks, and by the time you're adding big chunks of wood, it doesn't really matter whether it's damp, because the fire is already started. But at the beginning, it's got to be dry. It's got to be something that is very precious and fibrous. And I have a friend who is a scout leader. She's also a vicar, actually. But she's a scout leader. And I remember we used to have lots of barbecues at my house and campfires. And one day the fire was becoming a little bit out of control. She felt it was too big because I had trees above. So she decided she would put extra wood on it. And that stayed with me. And no, that's not how it works, Jill. You're a scout leader. You don't put more wood on a fire that you want to go down. I haven't got to that page yet, Jane. Don't hurry on. So I've got another picture of this ember combusting, and it's the oxygen, the breath. If you're blowing on it, or the wind, and I'm sure you're ahead of me, that the analogy is that it's the spirit that makes that combustion really, really happen, and the fire to grow and take off. Fires get started accidentally, but that doesn't mean it's easy to start a fire. Or, as we saw with that original picture that I had, to light a candle from an ember. So the Holy Spirit is a dove. As Richard says, he's gentle, but that doesn't mean he hasn't got the full power of Almighty God. So let's turn to Scripture and see what 2 Timothy chapter 1 tells us, helps us. And keep in mind those pictures that I've introduced to you. I want to look at intentionality. I want to look at what Paul is writing to Timothy about how to lead the church that he was involved with, and how to get it going, and to stay close to the Lord. So I've put four little headings, and I hope that you can see where I've got those from as I read it through. Hold firmly, remember God's faithfulness, trust in the Spirit's power, and stay loyal. And hopefully you will hear all of those as I read it. If you miss any of them, go home and read it again, because they should all be there. Right, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as day and night I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives also in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. And I'm going to read that verse again, because that's pivotal. I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. Join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. Did you hear God's intention? The will of God that called Paul and Timothy, the preparation in the faith that Paul was given from his ancestors and from his training as a Pharisee, and the preparation that Tim received from his mum and his grandmother. God saved and called them both. And the phrase I want to pick out is, not for anything they had done, but because of his purpose and grace. Verse 9. Destroying death and bringing life. Verse 10. So Paul's advice to Timothy is to hold firmly to good teaching. We try and do that here. Remember God's faithfulness and the particular gifts that you've been given. Trust in the Spirit's power. Trust also in the Spirit's love and wisdom, and stay loyal to the fellow Christians. It's those actions that we need to do intentionally. They're not just going to happen. We are not a group of like-minded people. We are not always going to be able to get on with each other. We have to do it intentionally, because we are church together, because the Lord has called and prepared us and put each one of us in this church for this time. I've got a picture. The church has a mission. We have common purpose. We are a team, and we should know that we have each other's backs and that we're willing to share the load. So let's look briefly at this phrase. I want to look briefly at the idea of laying on of hands. Timothy received the gift of God by the laying on of hands. And that's a form of ministry that Jesus used to confer blessing or in healing. And the apostles, they picked it up. They did, the Old Testament does describe it, and the apostles picked up that way of a setting aside somebody, commissioning them, appointing them to a particular particular post. And after Pentecost, they also used laying on of hands as a way of conferring the Holy Spirit, a touch of that conveys authority. And the intent has to come from the person laying on hands, and also from the person receiving that prayer, that gift, that commissioning, that blessing. The intent is utterly critical, but the power remains with the Lord. Which is why one doesn't lay hands on someone in haste. 1 Timothy 5:22 says, it's not to be done hastily. I haven't actually got the verse. But it is to be done boldly. So if you need the Lord's touch, do ask. There are elders and others in this church who will happily pray for you in that way, pray with you. I was very moved by the preaching of A.W. Tozer. Let me try and move us on again. Yes! that really made me think about what is involved in walking together. Tozer had this thought that when you are walking to Jerusalem or to Emmaus or to Jericho, those roads were long and dangerous, and in order to walk together with somebody, you had to have an agreed destination. You had to work out, oh, we'll go that day. We'll start when we're ready, you know, after lunch or first thing in the morning or when it's cool or whatever. But you've got to agree to start at the same time. You've also got to agree when you're going to stop and have a rest or stop and eat or stay overnight. You've got to agree on the same route. If you're going together, you will probably come across obstacles. You've got to talk about how you're going to get round those obstacles or take a detour. So communication is needed. And whatever the distance that you are walking, walkers adopt exactly the same walking pace. Walking ahead might sometimes be appropriate, especially if you're scouting out the land. But I've included this image because the moment we think that we have arrived spiritually, we've got to the top, we've done it, we can enjoy the view. But there is no way forward. This guy can't go any further ahead. And our mission as a church is to walk closer to Jesus, to walk closer to each other, with each other. And our desire is to walk with the people of Long Ashton. This is not a solitary pursuit. Paul knew that. And he longs for Timothy to come to him in Rome. Paul, of course, can't leave and go and join Timothy because he's a prisoner. So, even in the days of Uber and scooters, we still sometimes choose to walk. These friends have got common purpose. They've decided that they are going for a walk together. They might not have a predetermined destination, but they are enjoying building their fitness. They're sharing time together, sharing their lives together, perhaps. And I wonder, is that us as a church? Are we walking with each other? These two, by contrast, are not walking in step, not with the Spirit, not with each other. And I wonder, is this your spiritual life? Are you distracted or hurrying? Are you anxious or on your phone, unaware of the Spirit with you as you go about your daily business? These people are not walking in step. There's no sense of togetherness, no sense of common purpose or companionship, even though they are, and they may well be, walking absolutely in sync. If you remember, there was the Millennium Bridge across the Thames where people automatically walked in sync, just made the bridge wobble. What about us as a church? Are we walking together? We need companionship. Are you enjoying that one, Howie?
That's not me.
We need support. We need to encourage each other, particularly when it's difficult. And we all know that there are times in our lives, especially as we get older, when it is difficult. It doesn't matter whether we are conversing with each other, but it does matter that we trust each other. I don't know whether this is a walking group. This is just a Google image. I don't know whether it's a walking group or a church. But it served for me as a picture of us being church and what church should be like. We're together, we're open to each other, and open to listening. In this case, they're paying attention to the photographer. Timothy wouldn't have too much difficulty leading a church like this, even though some of the individuals, or one of the individuals, will always go slightly off the well-trodden path. Pray for our elders, those in the high-vis jackets, and our trustees, keeping us on track. Let's pray now, and let's go back to this picture of fire. Lord, we ask that our fire may not wane. Lord, that our intention to keep in step with the Spirit will give us courage to move onwards and upwards. That we will support and encourage each other rather than being timid, and that we will walk together, and you will continue to teach us and remind us that it is your purpose that defines our path. Amen.